Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Certified Advisory Corp is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements.
Stay tuned for On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 844-580-WDBO. That's 844-580-WDBO. And enjoy the show.
And welcome into another edition of On the Money right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. You know the drill. If you want to join us here, you got to call those numbers, 844-580-9326. That is 844-580-WDBO. You've got express lines right into the On the Money offices right now, and you can go ahead and dial in for free at 844-580-9326. 9326-844-580-WDBO. If you're calling in, just threw you on hold. Give me 1 second. We'll pick you up and get your question lined up for Joe Bird. And we're joined by Gary Abley this morning as well. Both of them are certified financial planner professionals at the Certified Financial Group, and they are live with us right now. Good morning, gentlemen. What kind of calls will we take on the show today?
Good morning. Well, in addition to being certified financial planners, I'm privileged to have Gary here with me in addition to being a CFP. As I said, he's also a CPA, so he's got a lot of credentials here this morning. And as we have been for more than 30 years, we are here to take our listeners' calls, questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances, things that you might have to make decisions on regarding your 401k and IRA, regarding a mutual fund, life insurance, annuities, reverse mortgages, all of them and more. These are the things that Gary and I and the 12 other certified financial planners deal with our clients day in and day out, doing financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. So if you have any questions regarding those issues, the good news for you is the lines are absolutely wide open and we encourage your calls. And by the way, we are the firm that charges for their financial planning, unlike some folks on the radio that want to give it away. We believe that there's value in what we do, and we are here to take your calls, but we'll answer your questions absolutely free. So once again, if you have any questions, pick up the phone and dial these numbers.
844-580-WDBO. That is 844-580-9326. Also, we're featuring live on Facebook right now, facebook.com/onthemoneyfl. So if you want to go watch a live stream of it there, you can. You can leave a question in the comments section, and we will answer that live on the air as well. But again, the easiest way is through those phone lines at 844-580-9326. We already had a caller lined up as well. Let's head out to Melbourne and chat with Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. I had a question about the senior tax credit, just exactly what it is, how it works, and who qualifies.
So, Bob, that is for folks who are over 65 years of age. So let me first ask you if you fit that build.
Yes.
All right. And it's also for people who are on permanent or total disability. Are you in that situation at all?
No, fortunately, I am not.
All right. So the credit ranges, I'm not going to ask you on air your income, but the credit can range anywhere between $3,750 and $7,500 per year, depending on your income. Most will not qualify for this, but if you have limited income and perhaps just Social Security income, you could qualify for that. So, Bob, this brings up a great point. We also have Rodney Owenby, who is in our office right now taking phone calls, and he can give you the specifics of the income so you don't have to talk on air. And by the way, Rodney Owenby is also a certified financial planner here, and he is also a CPA as well. In fact, I've known Ronnie for about 30 years. We started work at Arthur Anderson years ago. So he can answer the specifics on the senior tax credit question. And the phone number at the office is
407-869-9800.
All right. Joe is looking at me like I might not know that because I don't always call yourself. But I hope that helps you, Bob. So give Ronnie a call, and he can go into the specifics on the income. And we thank you for your call.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. You can join us here at 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. Go ahead and give us a call. Join us live just like Bob did. In the meantime, though, we got a good topic of the day here. Should I be reducing my exposure to stocks given inflation trends in the Fed's recent hawkishness?
And given what's happened in the last week.
Exactly. You know, I know the question's on stocks, but let's talk a little bit about bonds as well when we answer this. But, you know, first to the point of stocks. So I'm going to say yes and no. And first of all, the general answer will be no, right? We don't change our allocation to equity securities simply because we're worried about timing. We're worried about, you know, a tightening in the Fed policy. We're worried about inflation. Equities actually do very well. Real estate, and when I say equities, I mean stock mutual funds or individual stocks, tend to do well in an inflationary environment. And it's quite simple why. You know, what do companies do when they're faced with higher prices?
Raise prices.
Exactly. What do they do if they have a glut of employees? They have to
cut
lay
costs.
Off.
Right. Yeah,
they have
cut to cut costs.
Right. So the great thing about investing in a company, unlike a U.S. Treasury bond, for example, is companies are more nimble than the U.S. government, which, you know, pays out about $4 trillion and takes in about $2.5 trillion. So, you know, now, why did I say potentially yes? It's not so much that people should change their allocation to equities, but they better do a deep dive and into exactly what they own. So we have software that we can plug in somebody's mutual fund holdings, and then it spits out what are their top holdings in individual stocks. Just to give you an example, a lot of folks listening might own the Vanguard, S&P 500 index, or the Fidelity, or the Schwab. They're all the same. A 500 index is a 500 index. And when we see that as the dominant purchase for somebody's equity positions, I get nervous.
You should be.
And the reason I'm nervous is they have incredible concentration risk. The top 10.
What do you mean by concentration?
All right, I'm getting there. So the top 10 companies represent about 27% of the index, and 90% of those top 10 companies, by weighting, are in the growth sector. But concentration specifically, you would own about 6% of Apple, you'd own about 6% of Microsoft, 4 or 5%, you know, of some of the bigger names.
Tesla?
Yeah, you'd own a good bit of Tesla.
Yep.
And good bit of NVIDIA, you know. So you're going to own a lot of growth stocks that have run up, and they're trading at multiples that, you know, likely aren't sustainable,
right?
You know, in the high 30s.
Right.
Love Microsoft as a company, but I don't know that I want to pay 35 times peak earnings. Love Apple as a company. I don't know that I want to pay 31, 32 times peak earnings. It's okay to own them.
Yes.
Right. There's nothing
the
wrong with
it. But the concentration is what's bad.
But I don't want 6% of my net worth tied up in one company.
In fact, you know, if you look at your performance in the last week, you've taken a pretty good hit.
It's funny. I just pulled this up yesterday in a meeting, and value stocks year to date were up about 1%, and growth stocks were down about 7%.
Thank you.
And how I did that, if anyone's interested, you can just pull up VUG and VTV. That's the Vanguard Growth Index and the Vanguard Value Index. And you can plot those very nicely on a graph at Yahoo Finance. And it's really showing a split now.
Divergence.
Between value and growth.
Yep.
The problem is these indexes are loaded
with
growth.
Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's a concern. And you need to look at what's under the hood, because we're starting to see a split off between growth and value. It's better to be balanced.
And that's what we do as financial planners. When we manage and build portfolios for clients, what we want to avoid is that concentration. And what that means is that when the market is roaring, as reflected by the S&P, because it's loaded up with those stocks that you mentioned, you're feeling really good.
Exactly.
But when you have a week like we just had, you're not feeling so good.
No, you're not.
The real key is how we try to build portfolios is not try to hit home runs, Be a consistent single and double player. Try not to strike out and stay in the game for the long term. That's how you make money. Right. People that suggest it's a time to get in, get out, you ought to buy this investment because it's doing well. You can't drive by looking in the rearview mirror, and unfortunately that's what a lot of folks do and a lot of investment advisors do. The key is to be diversified. We'll talk about the need for bonds or what bonds do in your portfolio. But I see we've got a call here, CC.
Yes, we do. We got Rich who's calling in from Flagler Beach. We're going to see what Rich has to offer here. Rich, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for your call.
I just recently retired. I have a 457 plan, but I also have, before I started there, an IRA. And I'm wondering if I'm better off to move the 457 into the IRA, and if so, what are the ramifications? Because I have to, I'm of the age where I have to start taking the withdrawals.
So you're 72?
I'll be 72 this year.
Okay. Well, happy birthday.
Yep.
457s have a little bit different rules in terms of RMD. Fortunately, this doesn't apply to you because you're over that age. But folks that have 457s have the ability to take out at an earlier age and not pay that 10% penalty.
Right, right.
But go ahead.
Yeah, just in your case, Rich, the way I look at it is most 457 plans, in fact, most retirement plans through your workplace offer you 15, 20, maybe 25 different options. And we've got a kind of a rainbow chart that goes through all the different asset categories. And it's not uncommon when we're building portfolios to use quite a bit of mutual funds so that we're covering every asset category. The other issue is you have control over your money. You start out having...
With an IRA,
right. By rolling your 457 to an IRA, you have ultimate control. You have, 33,000 choices, different mutual funds. That can be a little overwhelming for some people. However, having that selection, a good example, and this kind of gets back to the whole bond discussion, many 457s and 401ks will have one or two bond options. And one of those options might be the total bond market index. And right now, that total bond market index is quite a bit lengthy in both the maturity of the bonds and in the duration. And you don't want to be in long-dated bonds typically when you have interest rates on the rise or expected to be on the rise. Good example is, the total bond market was down last year. It's down year-to-date. So, cash has actually done better than an overall bond market index. Now, we're going to talk about how bonds do serve a purpose in a portfolio. But to answer your question, Rich, I would recommend rolling over your 457 to an IRA account. It's also easier from a consolidation standpoint when you are calculating your required minimum distributions to be able to do it on one sum. Sometimes we meet with folks who have, six or seven or eight different IRA accounts and their required minimum distribution they might take out of one or two and forget to do it out of a couple. So anyway, I hope that answers the question.
Well, we want to follow up with that after. I know we're up against a hard break here. Hang on the phone, Rich, because there's a little bit more detail than just rolling it over to an IRA that you need to be made aware of. So yeah. Appreciate the call, but hang on.
Yeah, hang on the line there, Rich. We're going to continue after this break. 844-580-WDBO. That is 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. CC Joe Bird and Gary Abley all with you here on this Saturday. And of course, next Saturday, Gary Abley can be with you even more as he hosts a class. You've got one of his Learning Center classes going on. Will your savings last a lifetime? Gary, I'm going to let you talk about this. I've got some synopsis here, but let's hear it from the horse's mouth and in the nicest way.
Well, thanks, Chris. And Rich, this might be something that would interest you, so we'll get back to you in one sec. But this is really designed for somebody who is at or near retirement, maybe even retired, and they start looking at that Publix receipt and say, holy cripe, this is 20% more than I was spending last year for food and household items. And they're starting to wonder, with these new car costs and even used car prices, am I going to have enough to retire? And I know when we do financial plans here, we'll often use 3% as an inflation factor, even though, you know, years past it's been running closer to 2. But of course, now it's running hot, you know, around 7%. So, but this workshop in particular is designed to calculate the lump sum of money that you would need before you would say goodbye to your employer. Now, in Rich's case, he's already probably said goodbye. I don't know that for a fact, but looking at rolling over the 457, I assume so. And it's a good check to see, you know, exactly what should my withdrawal strategies be from my IRA account? How much can I take out without worrying about outliving my money? From what account should I take it out to be tax efficient? You know, I see people take all of their money out of an IRA account, yet they have savings or they have a brokerage account, and that throws them up into a higher bracket. So our goal when we meet with people is to make sure they're utilizing their 0, 10, and 12% brackets, and hopefully do our best to try to avoid them getting into that 22% bracket by being strategic about where we pull money from. So it's not just where to invest money, but it's also how to withdraw your money, how to make sure it lasts your lifetime, how to update your plan each year. So there's a lot of variables.
And a certified financial planner is what we do for our clients, been doing it now for over 40 years. And yes, we do charge for our financial planning, but it's probably less than you'd expect, and it certainly is not free. But we encourage you to find out more about what we do by going to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com, and you can make a reservation for Gary's workshop right there by just clicking on events. It's absolutely free. It'll be held at our office right here in Altamont Springs next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you get here a little early, you can stop in and peek into the studio and see me. And I don't know who's on the radio with me next week, but it'll be another one of my certified financial planner colleagues. And we encourage you to do that. It's a great workshop because, as Gary said, there's a lot of things that you have to consider as you're getting in the retirement years. And one of the things is where do I draw the money from? How do I turn all those assets that I've accumulated over my lifetime? How do I put it into something that makes sense? And most importantly, how conservatively can I invest that money and still have a high probability of not running out of money? Some people do the wrong thing. They try to chase returns,
right,
and they end up blowing themselves up. Or conversely, they're too conservative. They put it all in the bank because they don't want to lose it. But folks, if you have your money in the bank and inflation's doing what it's doing, you have a guaranteed loss.
That's right.
So you have to have the right kind of mix, and that's what will be covered next Saturday morning. So if, once again, if you want to go to that workshop, absolutely free at our office here up in here in Altamont Springs, go to our website, that's financialgroup.com, and click on events, and you can make a reservation right there. We look forward to seeing you. Now, getting back to your situation, Rich, you still there?
I am.
Thank you for holding.
Okay, the most important thing is not whether to keep it in a 457 or put it into an IRA, but it's really how should it be allocated? Because the IRA is merely a bucket, and then you have to determine, okay, what am I going to put into that bucket to make it work for me? So this is where we as certified financial planners working as fiduciaries build a portfolio for you to meet your needs and mesh to the other things that you might have. Having a 457, chances are you perhaps have a pension, you have Social Security. How are all those things blended together to get you to where you want to go to be sure that you don't run out of money? And these are the things that Gary will be covering next Saturday morning. And if you have time, I know it's a drive over from Melbourne, but I guarantee it's the best hours you've ever spent driving over. And Gary's going to give you 2 hours in this workshop. And you're also going to feed him, too?
Yes, we will.
All right, there you go.
So Rich, you know, I think what often happens to folks who are just considering rolling over, they're thinking that, okay, I need to be conservative. I've got to start taking money out. It's got to last my lifetime. And often one of the biggest mistakes is being too conservative. We don't know your age, but if you're in your, you know, mid-60s, you could be living another 30-plus years.
Well, he's 72.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. 72.
But you just left 25 years.
We do know your age, yes. Yeah. You could be 25 years, and so you're going to need growth to combat inflation.
All right, we'll be right back here on the Money. I'm going to throw somebody on hold here, so if you just picked you up and threw you on hold, sit tight. We're going to come right back to you here after the break. And if you want to join in the show, those phone lines are open, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. Got open lines for you right now at 844-580-9326. That is 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. 580-9326. Let's head back to those phone lines now. We've got Chip calling in from Winter Park.
Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, Chip.
Hi, guy. Good morning. You know, question. If you have a brokerage account, you know, that's not a retirement account, and you're doing some trading in the account throughout the year, say you bought and sold 50 stocks, do you have to keep track of each stock of how much you bought it for, how much you sold it for, how much you made, how much you lost, and then determine at the end of the year if you have a gain or if a loss and how much tax to pay? Or is that tabulated at the end of the year by the brokerage account?
Yes.
So the quick answer is yes, and I'm going to give you a little more detailed answer from a CPA. So you will get a 1099 B as in boy, which will detail out all of the purchases and sales. And a lot of folks complete their Schedule D, which is the schedule you use to report these gains or losses from the sales, and they input every line item, every individual stock sale and purchase. But the form will also give you a summary for all of the short-term buys and sells and all of the long-term buy and sells. And it is permissible to enter that as, you know, we usually would use the term various on the sales side, but to aggregate your short-term sales and aggregate your long-term sales so that you're only having to record, in essence, four numbers, right? The buys and the sells on short-term, the buys and the sells on long-term. It'll make the input and doing your tax return a lot easier if you choose to go that route. And the current period, the IRS is getting a record also of all of those buys and sells. And so one of the quickest ways to get an audit out there is for your numbers to disagree with what's on that 1099-B, as in boy. So definitely make sure those numbers line up, because if they don't, you'll get a happy letter from the Internal Revenue Service saying, we've got a different number here.
And that's a happy letter.
Yes, it's not really that happy. But something else, Chip, that I wanted to mention for our listeners, and you may own some mutual funds as well. A lot of people get confused the capital gains or losses from buying and selling of individual securities with capital gains distributions that they get from mutual funds. So, you know, one of the things we always like to tell our clients is it's not a great idea to buy mutual funds toward the end of the year just before they're getting ready to declare the capital gains distributions. So, for example, you buy a mutual fund, and even though you may not have sold that fund in year 2021, the mutual fund manager has done a lot of buys and sells in that fund, typically, and you're going to get a statement that tells you how much you have to report for gains from those sales, whether or not you sold the fund, right? So it's really important, Chip, like in a brokerage account, if you were buying mutual funds, you would want to buy tax-efficient funds, again, depending on your tax bracket. But I hope that answers your question.
And while Gary's on that, sometimes it'll happen, we'll get a new client, and they, at the end of the year, they're looking at their statement, and come December, and they found that one of their investments has dropped 8% and the market's going up. So what happened to this fund? Why is it doing so poorly? Well, what happened, they distributed their accumulated dividends or capital gains, and what happens is those are distributed, and then in the next day or two, it's reinvested, and it's reinvested at a lower share price. So at the end of the day, nothing has changed. You have more shares at a cheaper price. But people get sometimes concerned when those capital gains and dividends are distributed there in December. So that's something else to keep in mind, but it's all part of what we do and keeping our clients informed. Does that answer your question, Chip?
Yeah, let me just make sure I understood what you said. Did you say that the brokerage account at the end of the year will give you a statement telling you how much you gained and how much
yes.
tax to pay?
Yes, and okay, it's great. The statement is called a 1099-B. Form.
It won't tell you how much tax to pay. It'll tell you how much you earned and where, and you have to file that on your Schedule D.
Right.
All right. Well, that saves me a lot of work throughout the year.
Right.
Yes, it does.
Each stock, each buy, each loss. Okay, great. That answers my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Chip. Thanks for the call.
And I'd like to follow up on that and just say that one of the things that's really important in the financial planning process is also tax planning. Right. You mentioned I thought you were going to head down the road of tax loss harvesting when you started talking, but it's important to look at a brokerage account at the end of the year and see, you know, are there any funds that have lost money during the year that you might be able to sell and purchase a similar but not the same fund in order to solidify or realize that loss to help you on your taxes. Now, why did I say buy a similar but not the same? There's a 30-day wash rule. So if you sell a stock, for example, at a loss, you're not allowed to buy that back for 30 days.
Well, you can.
Well, you can, but you're going to lose the loss, right? So it's called a wash rule. And just one other thing from a tax standpoint, we meet with people very frequently who are retired. They're not yet 72. They're not taking required distributions. Maybe they've started Social Security, but they're living off of savings. And oftentimes, they're sitting with brokerage accounts with big gains in a few stocks. And I just did this a couple of weeks ago. I sold GE in a client account and simultaneously bought GE back.
Now, that's okay.
Yes, that's
because we're not looking
for a gain.
That's right. Just want to be sure we're on the right page here.
And you'd say, well, why on earth do you want to solidify a gain? And the answer was because of their tax bracket, they pay no taxes on the gain. But later in life, when they're over age 72 and they start taking required distributions from their IRA account, this particular couple would be in the 22% bracket. So in essence, we were able to increase the cost basis of their GE stock by $40,000 by recognizing a gain, which will ultimately lower the tax on the ultimate sale of GE later in their life by $40,000. So always want to take advantage of that if you're in that particular tax situation. And we talk about that at the workshop. Will your savings last your lifetime? We talk about tax efficiency, and we talk about, you know, it's basically a checklist of how, why do people run out of money? And here's the solution so you're not one of them.
So once again, that's a workshop coming up next Saturday.
Right.
That'll be the 22nd.
22nd is 22nd. From 10 to noon.
22nd, next Saturday, the 22nd from 10 to noon, right here at our offices in Altamont Springs. Absolutely free. If you get here early, you can stop in the studio here and watch us do the show live. And it, if you want more information and make a reservation right online, you can do that by going to our website, financialgroup.com. Financialgroup.com. You can learn about all about Gary and me and the 12 other certified financial planners here that we have at CFG. And we encourage you to drop on by. You know, as we say in the opening remarks when we open the show, they don't teach us this stuff in school. And, you know, we go through life trying some of this and trying some of that and wake up at age 65, 67 and find out we got all this stuff. Now, what do we do with it? And then, you know, unfortunately, people get a lot of bad advice out there.
They do. Yes, they do. And oftentimes when people come in for a second opinion, I'm so glad they did because, you know, we'll hear they went down the street and were pitched, you know, putting 80% of their retirement account in annuities.
Yes.
And, you know, annuities can have their place. They're not all bad. In fact, I love the company we partnered with because they've stripped out the commissions and the surrender charges on the annuities. And so it makes it even, you know, a better product, right? And if we get a chance, we can maybe chat about that as one of these dilemmas with bonds. You want to chat about some bonds?
Sure. Okay. Sure, let's do it.
So what's wrong with bonds today? What would you say, Joe?
Well, the challenge is you have in a rising interest rate environment, you're going to get a decreased price, and you have to look at the duration and the quality of the bonds. But there is a place for fixed income in your portfolio. The key is to have the right kind of fixed income.
So I like your term. Joe often will use the term shock absorber for your portfolio. So when equities are in that correction mode or bear market.
Like this week.
Right.
Like this week. And exactly. I look at all of our accounts. I looked at how much the market is measured by the Dow or the S&P is, and our clients are down less than half of what the market has done simply because you have the shock absorber in the portfolio.
Right. And also the diversification. You know, I think back to the late 90s. You know, when the large cap, you know, you had the dot-com bust, and one asset category that really helped client portfolios were the foreign securities during that time frame that did quite well rather than the U.S. But, you know, bonds right now are going to have a tough time. I think Vanguard's outlook is for less than 2% returns over the next decade for fixed income. And that's because we're likely to see below average returns during this time frame and potentially losses like last year in this interest rate increasing environment. And, you know, I was surprised. I wanted to look up the federal funds rate going back 50 years, the average. and it's over 4%. And of course, right now it's zero.
Right.
So we've potentially
got a ways to go.
Ways to go, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a little bit of a tough time, and but there is good news. Certain bond funds do well in an interest rate increasing environment, in an inflationary environment. One of them, of course, would be inflation protected bonds.
Right.
Another one might be floating rate funds, which are right. adjustable loans.
We use, yep.
Yep. And so both of those can help. But everyone should be looking at the duration and the maturity of their underlying holdings and just making sure that they're not tilted too far out into the future, because those particular funds get hit especially hard.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And with the bond funds, you got to remember is that when the share price goes down because you have the rising interest rate, it's continuing to pay income.
Right.
And if you're reinvesting, you're buying more shares at a lower price. So that's kind of keeping your head above the water as opposed to holding the individual bond. And that's the challenge.
That's right. Yeah.
So there is a place for ETFs and bond funds in a portfolio, as Gary said, and I use it. It's your safety net, or it's the ballast, if you will, to prevent you from really getting. And the really the key is, I think it gives people peace of mind.
Right.
You know, when they see that, when they pick up the or turn on the TV or the radio and they say, market's down 480 points, and they look at their portfolio, we're doing okay. It's because you've got those shock absorbers in that portfolio. But it's got to be the right mix of stuff.
That's right. When you're in a bear market, typical recovery time, now averages are always deceiving, right? But typical recovery time is about 18 months for a bear market. Now, you look at that, and if somebody's withdrawing 4% of their savings, over a year and a half, they've taken 6% out of their portfolio. And as I remind clients, well, you're not taking all 6% from equities, because we're going to be, you know, whatever your asset allocation is, let's say you're a moderate investor, you have 60% in equities, 40% in fixed income, right?
Right.
So you're taking really 60% of the 6%. So you've only had to sell equities of 3.6% of your portfolio while they were down. In the meantime, if we're rebalancing your portfolio because the equities are down to maintain your 60-40 mix, we're buying more shares cheaper.
Cheaper, exactly.
And those will eventually recover, and we know that. We right. can't guarantee it, but we know that because right. we're close to all-time highs. We've right. always recovered from market, you know, quote-unquote calamities.
Right. So. And the beauty of what we do when we make those trades, rebalance you, getting you where you made, it's all done without any sales charges. There's no commissions or no transaction fees because we work with our clients as fiduciaries, and we put that in writing. So I see we're up against a break here. CC, take it away.
Yeah, we'll hit a quick break, but we got open lines, and we can take some more calls at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. Got about 3 minutes left in this final segment before we close up shop here. I do want to remind everyone, next Saturday, Will Your Savings Last a Lifetime? Gary Abley is hosting that, 10 a.m. to noon. You can go in, head there a little early, catch the tail end of the show, then go to the Learning Center and spend some time with Gary there. A really great opportunity for you. Just got to go to the website and sign up there. Also, scoremyfunds.com. Let's talk about that before we head out as well.
It's something that we've been providing for our WDBO listeners, have a lot of interest in it, and it's what we do for our clients. It's how we rate every investment that they own, their mutual fund or ETF, on 11 distinct data points, and it's scored from a scale from 0 through 100 with like your golf score. The lower the score, the better, with 0 being the best and 100 being the worst. And we provide that to you absolutely free, no obligation. And all you have to do is go to scoremyfunds.com, scoremyfunds.com. There's a pull-down menu. If you don't know the ticker symbol, you can just put in the fund name, whether it's in your IRA, your 401k, your 457, whatever it might be. You pull that down and put in the ticker, and we will shoot you that report. Absolutely no obligation. That's scoremyfunds.com.
And let me tell you why that's really important.
Tell me.
Well, some folks will come in and they'll say, Gary, look at, I've got this large cap growth fund and holy mackerel, you know, it did 25% in 2021 or 2020, let's say. And I'll say, well, I'm really sorry for you. And they go, what do you mean you're sorry? I made 25% on that fund. I said, well, the average you know, large cap growth fund did 38.5% in 2020. So it's a peer-to-peer. All 11 criteria are objective. These aren't subjective scores. It's an outside company, Center for Fiduciary Studies. So it's a great way to get a feel for how are your funds doing.
Yeah, the name of the game is to do better than your peers. And we build portfolios. We use a combination of various asset classes. And the objective is to have the better performing asset, have the funds represent the better funds representing those asset classes. And you're always going to have something that's down. You're always going to have a loser.
Yes.
You're always going to have some sector of the economy that doesn't do well.
If you don't, you're not diversified.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's the key. But what if you think about it, when the part of your portfolio is going up because you have great funds, you want to do better than the average. And when the part that's going down is going down, you want to go down less than the average.
Exactly.
And in the long run, you'll have a better than average portfolio. And that's all we can offer you.
And that's what you get with a peer-to-peer comparison.
Exactly. That's what we do at Certified Financial Group. If you want more information on how we do it, been doing it for a long time, folks. We are certified financial planners. In addition to being accredited investment fiduciaries, we provide investment planning and financial management for a fee. And we'd be glad to speak with you. And no obligation visit. Come by our office. We also have an office down in Windermere. For our clients down in the South Orlando area, Rodney Ownby,
right.
Certified financial planner and CPA, mans that office, and he happens to be in our office right now to take any questions you might have on the air, or you can make a reservation with him directly right there. So you can reach him at 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTIVE for your executing legal document.
And, of course, we will be back here same time, same place next week. You've been listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group. Don't forget, check out Will Your Savings Last a Lifetime in the Learning Center next week with Gary Abel. You can sign up for that still online. You do not want to miss out on that. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. When the last time I saw you.